Breaking news, the Department of Justice sues Arizona. We'll talk about what it is and what it means on Seculo.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110 on this Friday. So it started this summer when Governor Doug Ducey of Arizona started using containers. We can actually put it on the screen for people who are watching the broadcast right now. It's about 60 miles of land that Arizona claims they have oversight over. And this, again, has been going on since this summer. It's the area in Yuma, Arizona, as a way to fill gaps along the border. And there was nothing from the Department of Justice claiming that this was federal land until yesterday, when a lawsuit was filed by the Department of Justice to order Arizona to stop building the barrier and remove the containers in the San Rafael Valley, citing operational and environmental, of course, those environmental concerns.
Right.
And now they are claiming that less than we're now a few days away from Title 42 expiring, that this is federal land, you must remove the barrier, and we have nothing, we're not going to do anything to put anything in place. And you remember we talked to Rick Rinnell, and Rick said, you know, the issues, we don't hear about a lot from California because they have a wall.
Yeah.
But it's Arizona and states
Arizona
like that.
Took it into their own hands, built this wall of shipping containers. It really
on
is.
On land they are going to argue in court is theirs.
Yeah, I think they've said that it may be the gray area is whether it's sort of a no man's land.
Yeah, is it state or federal or both?
So we'll find that out, but they're claiming it's their land and should be able to do whatever they want. I agree with that.
Yeah, they didn't have to sue over this, the Department of Justice.
No.
This is, again, this idea when they act like our border is secure, they are putting Arizonans at risk. I want to take your calls on this. 1-800-684-3110. If the Department of Justice is successful here, let's say the courts agree, they say, no, what? Oh, this was federal land. You couldn't do this. They've decided after months of this already going on, after Title 42 is about to expire, that now they're going to sue Arizona and put American citizens at risk. And I say it's not just Arizonans who are at risk immediately, but so many millions of Americans who are at risk from the drugs that will come across that border in Yuma, Arizona, like fentanyl, from the trafficking, that we can go through the list, the cartels, the bad actors. So I want to hear from you about the timing on this. That this is when the Biden administration, it's like they want to punish good actions. Smart. This is when the government is acting in a creative way. It's like what you want your state to do. Be creative, have creative strategies to protect your citizens and your sovereignty. And the federal government said nothing about it.
Yeah, answer, if the federal government won't do anything about it, you want your states to be empowered to be able to do these types of things.
Yes, and so this was going on for months.
Yeah, we've heard about this. You've seen, if you're following it, you've heard that they've done this. I mean, it is fairly impressive when you look at the big pictures of it. Again, big shipping containers, and then on top of the shipping containers, a lot of it is like a barbed wire. I mean, is it the most beautiful looking thing you've ever seen? No. But again, it's kind of in a no man's land.
Right.
That they're trying to protect. And it is what it is. But they're going to sue them. And we'll see what happens to that. Hopefully, the states do well. You can see even some places it's to stop the gaps between the walls that have been built.
Yes. And I pointed out this. The Biden administration knew about this since the summer. It's now the winter. It's almost the new year. They know Title 42 is expiring. At Wednesday, 12:01 a.m.
And you probably explain what that is, too, when people come back.
Right, so we'll explain that. So all that together, this is when they want to sue Arizona to remove their border barrier, to remove those parcels, to remove, take them away, so that more and more migrants can come across illegally. It tells you so much about what their plan actually is. Their plan is that they want our country to be flooded with illegal immigrants. I mean, I really do think there's no other way to get around it. That, because you look at this, you say, you are punishing Arizona and Arizonans by filing this lawsuit and putting their lives at risk. We want to take your phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. The timing, suspicious at best. And there's more going on in the immigration front as too. We'll get to that as well about Remain in Mexico. Right back on Seculo. love about this story, too. Arizona's Republican Governor Doug Ducey said to federal officials earlier this week before they filed the lawsuit, we will remove the shipping containers, which was only supposed to be a short-term
temporary
fix, but only when the federal government commits to a timeline for permanently filling in the remaining gaps at the border, which they're not going to do.
Right.
So he's offering to remove them and says, you federal government come in and build the rest of the wall.
Yeah, because that's a lot of what it is.
Like there's little gaps in the wall, and so they put a couple shipping containers there if you're watching the broadcast right now. To me, again, you said Title 42. We should explain it as always.
Yeah, we don't know.
So Title 42, throughout this whole process with COVID pandemic, was a tool that the federal government's been able to utilize to immediately expel people who come to the border because of the COVID crisis and the pandemic crisis. So they don't have to have a legal hearing. They just get immediately expelled. And that's when you had a lot of people start claiming asylum
refugee status.
And refugee. But even then, you could start putting halts to that as well. But so it was a way where, let's say you captured a couple thousand people, 1,000 of them, because there were some countries you couldn't use it for, but for most countries you can. So like they would capture 2,000 or 3,000illegal immigrants. More than half could be expelled under Title 42. So it was a great tool for Customs and Border Patrol and for ICE and for, again, the Department of Homeland Security.
And they announced yesterday, or day before yesterday, that that's coming to an end.
That's coming to an end. They're like not fighting to keep it.
Yeah.
They could have continued to fight to keep it in court, and they did not. And they don't, by the way, they also don't have a follow-up plan.
It just expires, and then the next day they sue
Arizona,
the state of Arizona,
to remove that barrier so that illegal immigrants can flood in through Yuma. It is a serious crisis, folks. And when you look at our economic crisis we're facing in our country, again, we don't need an immigration crisis that fuels the economic crisis. These cities, and we're talking about places like New York City. So imagine Yuma. If New York can't afford it.
Yeah. Imagine the actual border.
You think Yuma can afford it? If New York City asking for $1 billion for 30,000, and we're estimating that, I think, that hundreds of thousands could start coming through the border?
Yeah, I think there is a conversation about this with the reporter and with KJP. Maybe we should play this. And they actually ask her about the estimate of how many people that are coming over the border. Let's see what they have to say.
Of this warning from DHS, and do you have an estimate of how many people you're expecting will try and cross the border when Title 42?
Look, I don't have an estimate to share with you. What I can tell you is that the Department of Homeland Security has put out a six-point plan. As you all know, my Secretary Mayorkas was at the border just recently to talk about this plan, put out a statement, and so we are focused. We are focused and we are prepared. We will have more to share in the next coming days.
The estimate is that when Title 42 goes, this was put up by Congressman Jim Jordan, 400,000 a month.
400,000 people
are
crossing the border.
That's the population of
New And that's with the current Arizona having the shipping container.
Well, right.
So take that down, sue a state, make them take down whatever they have, whatever kind of protection
they have. Title 42 is gone.
Title 42 is gone. All of a sudden, you the floodgates will.
The floodgates. People have been waiting for Title 42 to go.
Yeah.
That's the population of New Orleans a month coming into the United States. So a pretty large American city.
Yeah.
And again, that's the urban population. That's not like the, when you spread out, it's really probably more like over a million people.
Downtown.
Downtown.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, this is just, again, we're taking your phone calls on 1-800-684-3110. Every state is a border state. Every city is a border city because of the drugs, because of the crime, because of where people are being dropped off, where people are being located to. And again, there is one good court victory to report. There's some good news, is that the Biden administration has been told yet again by a federal judge, after going all the way to the Supreme Court to get rid of Remain in Mexico because they didn't like that policy because it was a Trump policy. That was the only reason they didn't like it. It worked. They mocked it at first. Remember, they said, you'll never get the people to agree to that. And, they got Mexico to agree with it. And yet the Biden administration will not follow the rules to repeal it. They can, but they won't go about the proper process to repeal this policy, which is the Administrative Procedures Act lays out. You announced you're going to change the policy. You allow a comment period. You take in the comments. You respond to the comments. Then you announce your policy. They refused to do that. So a court has again said, nope, can't get rid of Remain in Mexico. Now, I don't know that that means they're actively utilizing the Remain in Mexico policy, but it's still on the books.
Yeah.
What is horrible here is that, again, a plan by Arizona that was a temporary fix, like the governor said, it's not supposed to be long-term, and he'd be happy to work with the federal government to take all this down if they were going to finish the wall sections they need in the area around Yuma. 60 miles we're talking about in the area, not like...
Yeah, the pictures look... It's 60 miles of wall
is long.
Is a lot.
But yeah. We're not talking about, you know, the entire state's border.
We're talking about thousands of miles.
No. So, this to me, Logan, it's punishment.
That's what it feels like. It doesn't feel like it's any sort of reaction to really what's happening. It's a, like you said, it feels like a reaction and to give themselves, to make them feel better in some weird way, to say, we got rid of Title 42. We made Arizona take down their faux wall. And even just the process of removing that is going to be, I can't imagine what it would cost just getting it taken down, because it is quite a large amount there. We do have a couple calls coming in, a couple from Arizona. Should we take one?
Absolutely.
Let's go to Lori in Arizona on line 5.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm calling. Thanks for taking my call. One of my big things is, where is Kristen Sinema and Mark Kelly regarding this?
Well,
nothing.
You haven't heard anything yet. I mean, maybe they will issue some kind of statement.
They may get pushed to have to do it.
But they're going to have to get, a reporter's going to have to ask them. I don't think they're going to do it on their own. And I think, Lori, I mean, I'd ask you about that because Kristen Sinema is now playing this role as an independent. Do you think there's an opportunity here where she would come out and actually say, I disagree?
I can only hope, but I don't think so. I mean, she hasn't said anything about the border for all her time. I haven't heard anything.
Yeah, this is the thing. I mean, these are border state
US the ones senators. That are part of the conversation, maybe
and
the most.
I just feel like the left is, they do two things with it. One, like you said, they want to look humanitarian.
Yeah, sounds nice.
Even though it creates a humanitarian crisis, they don't want the walls and the borders.
Right.
And then the second part is they could live in these states and totally ignore it, like it's not happening, which is disgusting too, because they're seeing the people and they're also they see the deaths from fentanyl. They see the migrants that are on the street corners. They see the cities that are overrun. These are cities that they represent.
Yeah, we're looking at a video right now from it. I mean, if they're ignoring it, it's because they just pretend
that
they're
in a third world country.
Yeah, it's like they pretend they're in Phoenix. They pretend they're somewhere else where you don't really see it as maybe on the daily. Obviously, you see people, but it feels like a major metropolitan area. Hopefully, they will start seeing what they're representing. I mean, look, when you have Gavin Newsom going to the border saying something's got to be done, Democrats have to step up, that's saying a lot.
Yeah, at least because he's trying to distance himself from Biden in case he wants to make a run.
Yeah.
And listen, Rick Rinnell said, they have a wall there.
California.
So California doesn't have nearly as much of a problem with illegal immigration. And it's also small. It's not as big of a border.
The actual border. Yeah, it's not Texas or...
Yeah.
Anything like that.
Again, I just think that this timing of this is so suspicious and wrong. You know, we do a lot of work at this, the ACLJ, to defend our borders, to defend our nationals. It's so many issues it touches on. Our national security, our economic security, the health of our nation. I mean, when it comes to the drug crisis we're facing in our country, and the fentanyl crisis specifically, the safety when you're dealing with the cartels. All of this is work that we do at the ACLJ, and we encourage you. We have a matching challenge right now, Logan, where you can double the impact of your donation at aclj.org. It's aclj.org, and it's just a great time at the end of the year. Even if I know people are kind of feeling crunched financially, if you're still making your year-end financial contributions, but you've got to pull back a little on the amount, the great time to utilize is the matching challenge, because you can still have that impact.
That's right. Essentially what happens, if you don't know, I know we've said it ad nauseum, but look, there are new people watching and listening every day. If you make a donation, there is a group of donors who have decided to match any donation that comes in the month of December. So if you make a $10 donation, it effectively becomes $20. It unlocks another $10. If you have $100, it becomes $200, so on and so on. So we encourage you to do that. And if you're looking for great content, also go to the website. So not just to make a donation, join our email list, subscribe on all of our social media platforms, read the incredible blogs and articles that are written each and every day by our wonderful team here, as they put on not only just a great television show, a great radio show, social media platforms, but also do this incredible legal work that we do here at the ACLJ. So I encourage you, go. Simple, four letters, ACLJ.org. Look at all the great content. But if you can right now, this is the time, the most important time really of the year to make a donation and support. As you said, people start looking at the end of the year for charitable giving. This is the time to do it.
Yeah. We come back to, we're going to get some other issues as well. A government shutdown has been avoided. That's good. But for how long? A week. Just a week. Yep. So we'll explain that. We'll still take your calls on the border, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. All right, welcome back to Secio. We'll continue to take your calls a little bit on the border issue as well, because there was more sound I wanted to play on this. Because Karine Jean-Pierre tried to blame the GOP for the border crisis. Now, one thing you can say what you want about Republicans. Okay, they are the party that has said build the wall,
shut it down,
let's do this, let's do that, here's some policies, keep Title 42, let's do Remain in Mexico, let's work with the Northern Triangle countries, actually do figure out those root causes issues, but let's secure our border to protect Americans. How do you blame Republicans? Well, this is how you try. This is Karine Jean-Pierre. This is that follow-up to that first bite we played. Take a listen.
We have done the work from this administration by securing record funding, and we are asking Congress to act. We are not asking for political stunts. We continue to see political stunts from many Republicans out there, and that's not how we're going to fix this issue. They want to secure the border. We've been doing that work on our own, and we're asking them to, hey, you know what? There's an immigration reform plan that the president put out on the first day. They should work with us.
Okay. You know, the immigration reform plan means legalizing millions of illegal immigrants and not securing the border.
Yeah. I think we've all...
Our idea has always been, we'll have the discussion about the people who are already here illegally after we secure the border.
Yeah.
Because until then, that number continues to grow.
Yeah, by 400,000 a month.
Yeah.
So I understand the conversation, like you said, of having, we talked about here, immigration reform in general, what that would look like, whether there'd be a pathway to citizenship. I don't think any of us are sitting here opposed to a lot of those conversations.
No.
But if the conversation has to begin with what do we do about the crisis that's happening at the border, look, it's a humanitarian crisis as well. There's people who are crossing the border for real reasons that are trying to get across, but also it's a humanitarian problem because how many people that are dying trying to do that? The amount of human beings that are crossing and are failing, or are, you know, they're trying to cross, you know, large amounts of water, and there's always some sort of issue health and safety wise that goes beyond just the we should open up the border. It goes beyond, we should help. You know, this is not helpful to really anyone.
No.
It's not healthy.
Listen, this is the Democrat mayor of Denver. Okay, it's a pretty liberal city.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if the most liberal, but.
Portland might be more.
Yeah, but kind of historically, we think of Denver, yeah.
Yeah. This is what he has to say about what it's causing there. And this is, again, this is in Denver, Colorado. Not exactly right there. I mean, it's near, but it's not right there. Take a listen.
This influx of migrants, the anticipated nature of their arrival, and our current space and staffing challenges have put an immense strain on city resources to the level where they're on the verge of reaching a breaking point.
A breaking point in Denver, Colorado, just because of how many illegal migrants are there.
Just working their way there.
And this is a Democrat mayor. It's going to take Democrats... Because Republicans, they just ignore us. Maybe enough of these Democrat mayors are speaking up and governors speak up. Maybe.
Yeah, it becomes some sort of bipartisan effort.
Or I don't even care if it's a Democrat or Joe Biden effort. Just secure the border, protect Americans so we stop dying, so we stop having a humanitarian third world level crisis at our border. It makes our country look weak. It makes our country look ineffective, like we don't have the ability to handle the people who are already here. That's what he's saying. These are major cities. We heard it from Adams in New York. We've heard it from now Denver. We've heard it from
Gavin Newsom.
Well, here's Gavin Newsom, Byte 16.
The fact is, what we've got right now is not working, and it's about to break in a post-42 world unless we take some responsibility and ownership. And I'm saying that as a Democrat. I'm not saying that to point fingers. I'm saying that as a father. I'm saying that as someone that feels responsible for being part of the solution, and I'm trying to do my best here.
Saying the right words.
Yeah.
Obviously, we'll see the actions, but the fact that he even has to say those words, because remember, none of these people aren't in it for their own political gain.
Right.
He is saying it because he knows his own constituents and the country, if he decides to run for president, need to hear this kind of messaging.
Yeah, but he's saying it, he says, as a father.
Yeah, it's pretty clear.
And you say that
and
because...
And he even says in a post-42 world.
Right.
Like, he's already putting those things out there.
Title 42 gone, we're going to have it, the dam is going to break, if you will.
Yeah.
And when it breaks, that means... Well, there's already enough fentanyl that's being getting across the border to kill Americans 10 times over. So how much more fentanyl do we need coming across the border before that crisis will be so out of control, which it almost is, so out of control that getting your hands on that will even be nearly impossible, because there's going to be a nonstop influx of drugs that kill. There was another video out this week of a young police officer who again, when they were making an arrest, yeah, they just touched someone,
right,
who had like fentanyl pills in their pocket. And because of the way their body reacted to it, I mean, they had seizures on the street.
Yeah, and this there's Border Patrol seizure brings in third largest meth bust in history. This is also just broke as well, which is showing what's actually going on. Not just these situations with fentanyl, but other drugs as well.
Oh, yeah.
This crossed the Rio Grande. You're talking about, what does it say? In 1,400 bottles of cleaning solution that were actually filled with 3,000 pounds of liquid methamphetamine, street value nearly $100 million.
Yeah, I mean, people, this is big business.
If you look, it looks like Clorox bottles. I mean, it says Clorox. It's so they're having to stop, test, you know, do things. You know,
just normal products that would be coming across.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, this also causes supply chain issues because it slows down the.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Normal commerce that would be going on between Mexico and...
Yeah, this is the third largest seizure in history.
$100 million. And that's what's getting seized. Imagine what's not.
What's getting through.
Because, let me tell you, do you think that cartel said, oh, this got seized, we're not going to send any more through? No, because they've probably gotten $1 billion through already. So if you get $1 billion through, this is just part of your operating... It's just operating cost. Yeah. And, you know, and that's the street value. It doesn't cost that much to make.
No, of course not. I mean, I don't know how that business works, obviously, but...
You're not deeply involved in cartels.
I'm not, thankfully. But I were at all. We need to clear that up. I'm not involved at all, not just deeply.
You are not MS-13.
No, I don't know why you would even say that. But it's Border... But when you have to deal with... Look, that is one of the things that Border Patrol needs to be focused on, is not just worrying about what's happening at the border in terms of the floodgates being open and people just crossing the border.
Right.
They need to be worried about this.
That's what it used to be.
That kills... could kill us all 10 times over.
That's what it really used to be focused more on, is seizing illegal drugs.
Yeah.
Drugs, weapons, and then looking out for really bad actors trying to cross in, like terrorists and criminals.
Yeah.
Now it's just, you're having to be a babysitter.
Yeah, because you're not just getting them here, and there's people crossing the border. A lot of times they're just out there. Sometimes they are caught in some ways. And then there's this whole process we talked about, how they have to get people through. It's wild.
Mask mandate coming back.
What?
Philadelphia.
Oh.
It's the first one I've seen officially announced that when the kids come back in January, there will be a mask mandate for 10 days. Now, schools have done that before at post-holidays.
Yeah, because they know people will be around.
So I don't
people.
Know if that's like, that might be one of those plans.
I don't know. Some of them have triggers at this point, too, if it hits a certain threshold.
It's the first one I've seen, though, as a major city.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
So, will we start seeing more of those announcements being made as school comes to an end and we start to hit the Christmas holiday break? We got another half hour coming up. A lot of time we didn't even get to the stopgap measures, what's going on internationally. We'll take your calls as well at 1-800-684-3110. If you got calls on the border, we'll continue to take them. 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ. Double the impact of your donation. We got a matching challenge right now. ACLJ.org. Donate today. Support our work. Let's fight back. ACLJ.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. We're going to continue to take your calls on the border. We're going to get to the stopgap measure, some other news as well. The Patriot missile system is to Ukraine and what the Russians have said. If we do that, well, how they will respond. And kind of like, I don't feel like we're getting enough info to be sending more high-profile weapons. First, they were asking for cluster bombs, which are banned internationally in many places. And
yeah, they're asking for a lot of things that I think we have, but we're not even allowed to use.
You're not really supposed to. I mean, the use of them is highly regulated by the laws of war.
Yeah,
not that Russians follow the laws of rules of war,
no.
But still, the United States would by you're opening a door to them just using worse weapons. And I feel like, you know, we get lots of updates on Ukraine, and then it's like, it's like there's not even a war going on.
Yeah, it sounds sad. It's like you forget it's happening in some
ways. Well, and also the administration stops talking about it.
Right.
They pick and choose when they want to utilize it as a political talking point. Now, I do want to update you a little bit on the ACLJ before we get back to the calls on the border, and we'll get through these other issues as well. Just if you just have missed some of the shows this week. I know it's busy because of the holiday season. ACLJ, we've got just this last week and a half, a victory making sure our clients were present in Colorado and able to be represented and testify at that hearing, remember, where we were able to get an attorney out immediately when pro-life, the speakers were canceled by that city council in Pueblo, Colorado, the night before the hearing. We were able to rectify that situation by getting an ACLJ attorney there to the city council. Those pro-life speakers were allowed to present as witnesses and able to testify. We filed our reply at the Supreme Court in a religious liberty case. Planned Parenthood has been ordered to respond to our appeal at the Ninth Circuit. We sued the FBI for stonewalling over their collusion with social media. And we had two oral arguments at the Sixth Circuit, one on sidewalk counseling, pro-life sidewalk counseling, another involving religious liberty. So that is all just ACLJ work in a week and a half.
Yeah, it's pretty wild to see the work that we're doing here.
We've talked about all of them on the air, but I wanted to just kind of put it together. If you've missed a broadcast, you wouldn't have heard it necessarily.
Yeah, exactly. We try to cover those. We try to give you a good mix on this broadcast of what's going on in the news, but also the work that we're doing, so you get a little balance of what's happening. And obviously, we're here at the end of this month. People are heading into Christmas next week, which is crazy. We're already at Christmas, and we're a couple weeks from the brand new year.
Yeah.
But until then, this is when we really have to, you know, make our ask. As you've seen, you've gotten lots of texts, you've gotten lots of emails from people. As these are for nonprofits, these are the most important weeks of the year. So if you do have the funds, we understand it is tight this year. It is a little different than most years. Things have started to come back, though. If you're going to make your donation, this is a great time to do it.
Let's go back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. I want to go to Rachel in New York on line two. Hey, Rachel.
Good morning, or good afternoon, rather. I'm just calling because I hear a lot about the impeachment efforts on for Mr. Mayorkas.
Yeah.
What's anything further on that?
I don't think there will be, because I think that was all based on whether or not the Senate was went Republican. I thought he might resign, Rachel, if the Republicans took the House of the Senate, because he would not want to put up with the amount of hearings and the questioning, and again, he would have to come and testify as much as they wanted, and the kind of questioning and the kind of responses he'd have to give. So I thought he might think about resigning if Republicans took both the House and the Senate. I think now it's probably less of a chance. One, there's not going to be impeachment because the Democrats control the Senate, but two, I think a lot of it will depend on how long he remains will depend on how the House is able to do their job. Are they able to kind of push him out the door?
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to take some more calls as well. 1-800-684-3110. We do have some time to take your questions or comments here at the end of this week. So on any of those topics that Jordan brought up, whether it's an ACLJ-related topic or it is what's going on at the border or what's going on in Ukraine, we are happy to take, or we're going to talk a little bit later about the Elon Musk situation, what's currently going on with Twitter. We'll take questions on any of it. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And also get your voice not only on the air, but we could use your support. Go to aclj.org to make your donation today. And it was effectively doubled. Some other donor group is ready to match any donation that comes in. So be a part of that and unlock for us at aclj.org.
So we had questions about the omnibus spending bill. The government budget for 2023. And so right now, what we have is the Senate passed a stopgap measure, Logan, yesterday to keep the government open another week. This is typical Washington, D.C. So the government will not close for this week, but that only lasts for a week. And then...
Yeah, I feel like I don't even think I heard a lot about this government shutdown. Like, it didn't feel like it made a lot of news. Usually that's one of those things that, you know, they'll have a counter on the side of the screen on CNN being like, how long until we get to the shutdown?
Yeah, so what's interesting is Republicans want to push this into 2023, obviously, because then they can have a lot more say on the budget at the House. You know, they'll have a lot more to negotiate with the Democrat Senate, and you can, of course, cut some spending. This would also include, like, these IRS. Remember all that? Like,
yeah, of course.
Like the
extra agents.
Right, the 87,000 new IRS agents and the appropriation of the funds for that. But there's also an potential that they pass a deal with the current Congress next week that would keep the spending at the 22 levels, which are still very high.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that people need to follow up on to make sure that, because, look, I'll be honest, with so much going on in the world and everything we've talked about, a looming government shutdown isn't something that I even saw. I mean, obviously, it seems like it's always about to happen, but it wasn't one of the top stories. It didn't necessarily always break out. So the fact that this can happen and a lot of America doesn't even know, it always seems like it happens around Christmas. It always feels like around some sort of major holiday, they're deciding, let's shut everything down.
Yeah. One person on Rumble asks, is the omnibus bill going to fulfill Zelensky's Christmas gift list? Well, the Russians have said that if we send the Patriot missile system to Ukraine, that they will, you got to love the Russians when they say this way, it will lead to, quote, unpredictable consequences, Logan.
Yeah. That is a scary statement to make because you don't know exactly what they're even going to do or what they're going to say. We do have some phone calls. Maybe we should go ahead and take one of those. Some of these are on the border. But let's go to Joe, who's calling in Virginia on line four. Joe, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. Yeah, I'm just calling in reference to the immigration thing. It's the same old song and dance. You know, the Democrats just won't allow everybody in because they see a voting base there. Now, I'd like to make a little correction. One of y'all said a little earlier about the Republicans didn't necessarily have a hand in helping create this immigration crisis, which they did. This was going back 15 years or so when the second George Bush was in office. He was a big promoter of amnesty, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And there was a lot of the Republican business elite that liked it too, but they saw there were some political consequences to it, so they changed their tune.
That never got passed, Joe. There was George W. Bush worked on comprehensive immigration reform. Yeah, a part of it was to first secure the border and then allow for the legalization for people already here.
It was kind of the first thing he did pre 9/11, was sort of the compassionate conservative, was running on that platform, and then everything changed.
And it didn't pass.
No.
So, I mean, you can say it didn't happen because a political will. There wasn't the political will to get it done then.
Yeah.
A lot has changed.
Yeah, if you're talking about historically, sure, there have been Republicans and Democrats who have made mistakes, but we're talking about the crisis that has really happened over the last handful of years.
Yes, I think this is 15 years ago is a different situation.
Yeah.
And then also there's a huge national security push that went in place post 9/11.
20 years ago now. I mean, you're talking about
right.
Early 2000s. So give us a call if you want to be on the air. We'll take some calls in this segment and in the next segment. And we're going to continue the discussion, not only talking about Russia, but we're talking about, again, if you have a call related to the border crisis, we'll talk about that. And then we'll take some calls in the next segment, because we're going to be talking about the current situation going on with Elon Musk and some of the bands that he made. He makes a lot of news, that guy.
He is making a lot of news lately. I mean, like, every day. He gets into it. He got a bit into it again with his favorite AOC.
Yeah.
You think she kind of loves him?
Well, I think they both bring each other a lot of attention. So, sure, she would be off the platform. You know, there's a lot of people I know who have left the platform. Not that I know, but that I know of that have left the platform. A lot of these people know they can't. At least not yet. Because they need that. It makes a story. As you said, if he responds to AOC or AOC responds to him, that creates a dialogue and open discussion. And do I think that's probably good to have that?
Is there a liberal version of Twitter?
They've tried to start things in the last few months, like Mastodon and a few of these others. I haven't really signed up to them. I mean, the liberal version of Twitter was Twitter up until 90 days ago, or not even, up until 30 days ago.
They have tried to start some new platforms.
They have, and so far, they kind of pop for a moment.
get a couple million people on there than kind of Truth Social.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they have their moment in the sun, and it's hard. It's very hard. It's hard to add another social media platform. You know, we all can only consume so much. You almost
Maybe
have
TikTok
to provide.
Goes.
Well, see, you almost have to provide something completely different. Like a Twitter alternative. Who cares? TikTok fills a different void. Instagram filled a different void. Facebook and Twitter. Those kind of all four fill different things. Now they've all tried to copycat each other. Facebook's tried to incorporate, and Instagram is trying to incorporate the TikTok method. So is YouTube. But there's only so much time in the day to have one of those new social media networks actually grab hold and be a huge deal beyond a small audience. It's going to be an uphill battle, right?
Yeah.
Now.
Let's go to Michelle in California on line one. Hey, Michelle.
Hi, thank you. So I don't hear a lot of talking about this, but I'm concerned about the disease that's coming over the border, because not only is it a threat to the American people, but our hospitals can't handle all the sick illegals. And way back in the 50s, early 50s, my mom immigrated to this country from Holland, and they all had to have their shots. My mom has two smallpox scars on her arm because, you know, they gave her another one. I guess the whole family did. So this is really bad.
Yeah, when our families immigrated over our dad's side from Russia, that was the number one concern when you got to Ellis Island. Did you have any disease?
Because
if you did,
diseases that were not,
you weren't coming in.
That were not part of already in our environment.
Were they new diseases, or were they diseases that we didn't yet have a vaccine or way to treatment yet? So you had issues like you said, smallpox, polio. The list goes on. Remember,
there's still a lot of restrictions when you're going overseas, based on what you have, what you travel with, food. Like, you can't just, it's not willy-nilly. You got to declare everything. They're stopping you if you bring a banana over from another country.
Yeah, they're talking about bringing masks back again to the United States schools. At the same time, on the southern border, none of those people have been vaccinated. Even tested for COVID.
Yeah, they're not. They're not.
And they're let right into our communities.
Yeah, and Michelle,
by the liberals who don't want to even who love shutting things down.
Yeah, again, it's the talking out of both sides.
It's so bizarre.
It doesn't feel right because it does. It doesn't feel right because it seems like these are all counter narratives, but they all come off so nice and whatever it is. And look, as we've said with the immigration crisis, we really do think there's different pathways and different ways to help solve it. But as you said, the first step is securing the border. We know this, or at least doing a better job, at least having a plan to secure the border. Not Title 42 is lifted, all hell's going to break loose, as Gavin Newsom said. I mean, that's got to be, at some point, people start looking around and going, okay, if Gavin Newsom is saying this is a crisis, at least the Democrats should wake up. As someone who, if it wasn't for President Biden probably running, and I would say that's likely, that he would probably be one of the front runners.
Oh, definitely, because a huge state, big operation.
Survived a recall.
Easily.
The first time it's happened in a long time, but then he survived it with kind of a landslide.
And even though things have, it's been tough in a lot of major cities there with crime, drugs.
Yeah, I don't know how he gets away with a lot of it, to be honest. I don't know how they're still fine with it. It's one of those blurry, they vote for a Democrat, just like they voted for Karen Bass to run LA when you actually had someone who could come in and maybe try something different. Instead, it's just going to, it looks like it's going to deteriorate worse.
State.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're going to keep electing Democrats. And until someone wakes up and says, maybe this goes too far. But again, what I think on this issue, and we're going to the next segment, we're going to talk more about social media because, one, I've never seen it in the news so much. Two, I'm constantly worried about what Democrats are planning to try and do to Elon Musk. Like, I think that there's legal.
They're going to try to do somehow what they've done to President Trump. They're going to try to do that to him, I feel like.
And
I think
demonized, totally.
Totally demonize and figure out some sort of legal action that they think they can take enough to annoy him to potentially somehow, I don't know, sell it someone else. I don't know who would buy it. Justin Timberlake bought MySpace at one point, so you never know.
He's still on it?
No, I think he sold it.
He offloaded it at some point?
Yeah, I think at some point they just were like.
Still there, right?
I mean, barely. It's a
you think like Twitter will
mess.
Be there one day for the future and they'll look at it and say, there we all were.
Yeah, maybe. There we are. We're saying
there was a great grandfather.
Yeah, exactly. That's what the old Norm MacDonald joke. It's like everyone had one picture of the great grandpa. Now everyone will have a picture of everything they did, everything they ate, You know, like, here's my great grandfather. Here's everything he ate every day. You know?
Here's, yeah, every hairstyle.
Before, it was just like a picture of a guy going, I got to go feed the hogs. That's an old joke.
One grainy photo. It kind of looks like him.
It took all day to take. You know, stand still for 12 hours. All right, we're going to be taking your phone calls in the next segment, 1-800-684-3110. Talking about social media, talking about Elon, because he did shut down some journalists. And for a reason that is controversial. Some people think he did it, it was a good thing, and some people think he did it. And, you know, as being a king of free speech, maybe he shouldn't have. So, well, if you know about this story, I'd love to hear your thoughts. 1-800-684-3110. If not, we'll talk about it coming up in the next segment. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. We'll be right back.
All right, welcome back to Seculum. Last segment of the week. And I feel like this is when you really, this is Christmas week now.
Yeah. Now we're heading to, we're just a week out.
Christmas on a Sunday this year.
Yep. So do all your planning, getting all your presents early.
Are you done?
What are you laughing about? I am mostly done. I don't know if I'm totally done. We'll see.
A few more things we can do.
Yeah. But we'll be around. This happened. So Elon Musk, that's a good way to segue.
This happened.
Elon Musk, king of free speech, came under fire the last 24 hours, really, for...
Because he bought all the Trump NFTs.
He bought all of them. He's going to Mar-a-Lago. No. Maybe he did.
To get it off.
Just to be like...
It's done now.
Yeah. He announced...
maybe Donald Trump bought them all back.
They put out a list of journalists that have now been banned and blocked on Twitter. A lot of people said these were all liberal-leaning journalists that specifically went after Elon Musk. And there was a big concern about that because he said, you know, or suspended, I'm sorry, suspended. In the main course of action, the reason that this happened, what said all of this, is not just that they were specifically against Elon Musk, is they were retweeting an account that was actively following where Elon was and where his plane really was. So while that is somewhat public information, I guess.
Yeah, you can track tail numbers.
They're considering it Twitter to be sort of a doxing situation, which is he was nervous that this is something that
people know he'd be at a location.
Where you are, and he's a very controversial figure and someone who probably gets threats all the time. It's the richest man in the world.
It happened this week.
Yeah.
Somebody was chasing down what they thought was his car. And was a stalker of Elon Musk. And
he put on Twitter, criticizing me all day long is totally fine, but doxing my real-time location and endangering my family is not. They put in a new policy against doxing. I will say this. We had, I won't say who, a client that had a situation where their private information was being shared actively on Twitter.
Like exactly where they are.
Exactly where they are. And, you know, not just even addresses. Like it was pretty
like you can go here and see them. They're in this parking lot right now.
And this was... 3 years ago, 4 years, definitely pre-Elon, and I remember being part of the team that reported it, and actually Twitter, in their defense, took it down in seconds. This was something they were taking seriously.
So when he says it was one of their policies, it is.
It certainly was. You definitely could not post people's private information like this. Even if that information is maybe quote-unquote legal.
Because they're visible, so you could do it.
Yeah.
So it's like paparazzi to some extent.
Are these people posting this content for reasons that are nefarious? So not like, oh, I saw... ex-celebrity at Barnes & Noble. Can you believe it?
And this, you got a photo with Snoop Dogg.
Right. That's different than saying, here is currently the spot that this person is. And again, maybe not necessarily for good reasons. And you can find that for threatening reasons.
Yeah.
And I think he took that there was a count.
What do you think about it, the move? I think when I first heard it, I was like, oh, he's going to get attacked for this.
The biggest problem I have with it, and I don't really have a problem with it, because again, I've been a part of someone who had to have that happen too.
I understand doxing should be wrong. Is wrong.
It is wrong.
And you don't have to, that's not free speech.
A few weeks ago, he tweeted something to the effect of, free speech is free speech, even those who are posting where my plane is.
Right.
Then it became a threat. As you said, there's situations that
someone showed up, yeah.
So that may be the moments where he needs to go, okay, just don't say anything. Because I think if he had not said that, and then he had said this is the reason people got suspended, it would not have been that big of a deal.
I think it's just instead, I think what he's, the one trap he falls for, which is a Donald Trump style trap, which is these guys, their brains work at like 1,000 miles an hour. I don't even think we can understand how quick they, it's like he goes, if you look at his Twitter feed, It's going from space launches. I mean, all things that he's involved in directing.
Yeah. Space, Tesla, Neuralink.
And he's the ultimate, like, Twitter. Boss of.
Yeah.
And, like, if it fails because of him. I mean, he's got the, you know, they built this many new cars. They built the spaceship. They built this rocket. And also, he owns this Twitter platform now. Is, if you're going to do it, instead of just banning the seven, warning, policy announcement, clear. Does it then allow them to attack you nearly?
Yeah, it creates the narrative. And Barry Weiss, who has been someone who has, she's been putting out the Twitter files, part of the sort of trio of
say
people.
Like,
She, but nope, said, I don't want to dwell on how mesmerizing it is to watch those journalists who defended, even celebrated Twitter's ban under the old regime, under the guise of safety, now call it censorship, and say it infringes on freedom of expression. It did then, and it does now. So, interesting kind of comments from her saying, you know, all the people who are now complaining about it, they were the same people celebrating. Again, we talk about this. It's the hypocrisy specifically of the left.
Yeah, they kept saying, it's not a free speech platform. It's not. It's a corporate, private corporation. They can, you know, do what they want. So, and then when he says it's a free speech platform, then they mean that, like, oh, anytime he wants to say that we're not going to allow this kind of content. It's unique because usually the CEO of a company like this would not be someone so high profile that the doxing would be happening to them.
That now can be reached, you know, very kind of quickly.
And they're trying to follow him around. People are trying to follow him around like a celebrity. He's not, and you know.
Yeah, he actually refused. I'm maybe involved in the collectible community quite a bit. He used to be someone who used to sign autographs wherever he went. And he actually told the autograph, and they get hounded by what, you know, they're called graphers. They're guys that you'll see them at airports. Oh, yeah. And you'll see them, and they aren't the people who are tracking flights. Who are going, okay, this person's coming in from here. Someone at LAX told them that this person's coming to New York. They'll have 20 posts. And that's how they do for their business. They sell that stuff, not fans. Elon Musk came out of a restaurant last week and told that group, saying, no offense to you guys, but done. Never doing it again. I'm not signing another autograph for you guys. It's no offense, but for my own safety, my security has told me I can't do this anymore. And I'm kind of sorry. And they're like, one last time. And he's like, no, I can't. So clearly the security portion of Elon, because he was hosting SNL, he was a bit of that celebrity figure. Not unlike Trump in that sense.
Oh, when you have this
now
kind
the
of
security
money,
starts happening though.
Kidnapping threat for the people related to you, like all his kids. He's done a pretty good job of, like, you don't know what his kids look like. There's a reason for that. It's the security of them.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are not like celebrities who want everything out there about them. They are at a wealth level where, like, there are those drug cartels and bad actors, mafia-style international groups that would kidnap your child and hold them ransom.
Yeah, so I understand. I'm saying he clearly has had something clearly has switched in the last couple of weeks where he went from a little bit more of that celebrity.
Yeah, he used to be more of that.
Richard Branson to more of this.
He hung out with a lot of more celebrities. Yeah. I think now he's maybe just being more careful.
Yeah, it has to be more careful. And that I didn't think about until right then that he had just made that big statement about, I'm not signing, you know, kind of like the Ringo Starr statement, not signing any more autographs. But he specifically said, on the streets, I can't approach a group of people like this. And
I don't know who's in the group.
Right. And they're usually like pretty rough looking guys. I'll be honest. I've been in those groups.
Yes. I mean, now, and again,
memorabilia dealers.
A lot of celebrities, that group, because they're not like the fans.
No, we're not talking about at a concert.
I'm talking about a kid who's like, and I don't know if he'd say no to them too now, probably.
Maybe. Probably just doesn't. They won't even have the opportunity.
Right. You won't be able to get that close.
Right. Because even this, he like said it from across the parking lot, like across the street. And they had him lined up to sign. He's like, I'll do one autograph each. And they said, hey, you know what? My security detail has said this. Well, we only got a minute left in the week.
Only a minute left this week.
Yeah. So Merry Christmas, everyone. We'll be back. We'll have shows next week.
Yeah,
as well.
We're going to be back. We're going to be here. Not out yet completely.
Your kids are probably out of school now, though. It's going to be a crazy week.
Yeah. Should be a fun week. This kind of like first weekend to really
enjoy, relax. Support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ. .org. It's middle of our matching challenge. Actually, the middle end.
Towards the end, yeah. It just doesn't feel that way.
It feels like December just got here. But because it's over a weekend, because New Year's over a weekend, we encourage you to go do that now. We're not going to have those. We'll have some end of the year pushes as we always do, but it's a little bit different as even I think New Year's Eve is over a weekend. So for that matter, if you could support the work of the ACLJ, great time to do it. Go to ACLJ.org. Like I always say, don't just go there to make a donation. Look at the vast amount of content that is available there, free and for your education and your entertainment, for that matter. ACLJ.org. Talk to you next week.